So tonight, we'll continue with this very dramatic pastime. We heard last night how Krishna went to the forest without Balaram, and how this was a really, really, really crucial thing to the residents of Vrindavan, that Krishna had gone without Balaram. And Balaram, we heard his inner thoughts as well, how he was witnessing the suffering of the residents of Vrindavan, and he did not want to stop their transcendental emotions, but to reassure them somehow that there was hope, he laughed. And when he laughed, they were surprised because they were all crying. Now, there are three reasons why Krishna himself chose to go to the forest on that day without Balaram. The first reason is because only Balaram would be capable of pacifying the residents of Vrindavan when they heard this terrible news. And secondly, when they arrived at the shore and saw what they were going to see, only Balaram could stop them from entering into the poisonous waters. The second reason that Krishna did not choose to go with Balaram that day is because he knew that Balaram would never let him climb such a tall tree. He was very protective. What to speak of diving into the poisonous waters of the Kaliya Lake? The third reason that Krishna chose to go without Balaram is because Balaram, in his form as Ananta Shesh, is known as the king of Nagas. So Krishna was a little afraid that Balaram would have become angry when he was about to assault and crush a snake. So now, Balaram has brought all the residents of Braj to the shore of the lake. Krishna remained tightly bound in Kaliya's grip for one muhurta. It had taken the residents of Braj most of that time simply to find him. And we can just imagine how disturbed they were when, from a distance, they saw him within the poisonous lake. And then, when they arrived at the shore of the lake, and they saw that Krishna was wrapped up in the serpent's body and was unconscious, their greatest fear had now come true. They looked around the lake, near the edge of the water, lay all the young boys lifeless. And the cows that Krishna had taken with him that morning were all dead. And all around the lake, in every direction, there were animals and birds, and they were crying and crying and crying and calling out to Krishna. Seeing this horrible sight, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Mayi and all the cowherd men and women experienced the greatest distress and bewilderment. There was no pain greater than seeing their beloved son caught in the coils, of 100-headed, like 100 snakes, massive snakes, caught right in the coils of these snakes with no sign of life and no possible way of escape. Of course, we know that Krishna was not dead. But they had seen the ill omens, and knowing that Balaram had not come with him, and now seeing everybody lifeless, the Brajavasis were convinced that Krishna was dead. When the young gopi girls saw that their only beloved was seized in the powerful grip of the serpent, the entire three worlds became empty for them. By nature, they were completely attached to Krishna. There was never even half a moment that they were not thinking of him. And now, terrified, they expected that at any second Kaliya would suddenly open his mouth and he would swallow Krishna up. He would swallow their most beloved. Krishna appeared so tightly wrapped. It was as though there was no chance for him to be rescued. You see, the gopis' happiness and their distress depended entirely on Krishna. It depended entirely on Krishna's well-being. Nothing else gave them any pleasure, and nothing else gave them any pain. They cared for nothing. They cared not for their possessions, not for their family, not for their children, not for their house, and not even for their bodies. Thus, when they saw Krishna in this state, they thought of everything in this world now giving them pain. They said, what is the use of living? For whom shall we live? The gopis felt as if they had lost everything they owned. Even Braj had no meaning for them without Krishna. Their only recourse was to meditate on Krishna's loving smile, his glances, and his sweet, intimate words. They remembered how Krishna would secretly glance at them while they were standing shyly on the rooftops looking down. And he would smile and joke and laugh. They remembered the times when he would cleverly arrange meetings with them or speak to them secretly. But now he was unable to look, to smile, or to talk. How could they live without him? Feeling acute pain and forgetting all etiquettes and shyness, they began to cry and cry and cry loudly, with tears pouring down from their cheeks, pouring down their cheeks from their eyes. My dear Sakhi, let us jump into this lake and let the serpent eat us as well. There is no use to living anymore. Speaking like this, the gopis were plunged into an ocean of sorrow. As soon as Krishna's mother reached the bank of the lake, her immediate reaction was to jump straight into the water and save her son. She did not even care or see the poisonous water, and nor did she even consider the possibility that Kaliya would kill her. She simply wanted to go to her son. Fortunately, the other elderly gopis held on to her to restrain her and console her. They took turns in recounting Krishna's pastimes to pacify her. They reminded her of how Krishna had saved himself and all the boys from dangers so many times in the past. They showed her. They reminded her. They told her that Krishna had already saved them from so many dangers. They constantly filled her ears with these descriptions of Krishna's extraordinary prowess. They said to her, "Oh dear sister Yasoda, do not enter the water. Krishna will come out very soon. Just like in the past, when Krishna killed so many demons, this snake will also be killed very soon. Please, please, have patience. Have patience. If you enter this deadly water, who will take care of your son when he comes out?" These elderly gopis were also completely devastated, for they had the same deep feelings of love for Krishna as Yasoda. But seeing the dangerous situation, they tried to do all they could to restrain her by recounting Krishna's pastimes in great detail. They managed to somewhat pacify her. Balaram saw that the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, whose life and soul was Krishna, also wanted to enter the lake. Within a moment, he stopped them all by expanding himself into as many Baladevs as there were cowherd men. One form for every man was present. Only he was able to stop them, because he was very powerful, and he also knew that it was the desire of Krishna. So while the elderly ladies were restraining Yasoda by reassuring her of Krishna's ability to kill demons, Balaram spoke no words to the cowherd men. He simply stopped each one of them by using his strength. And considerable strength was required, for the cowherd men continuously tried to enter the lake. So Balaram had to be so vigilant that he had no time, as he was holding them back, for any reassuring words. He carefully held each one of them back, knowing that very soon Krishna would make them all extremely happy. Balaram said, and then Balaram said to all of them, "You are all unaware of the magnitude of my younger brother's strength, which always increases the joy in others. I am the only one who knows the extent of his transcendental ability. Even the great demigods understand only a fraction of his opulence. Please be steady in your intelligence. For lion-like Krishna, it is an insignificant achievement to subdue this snake. Just as wind cannot knock over a mountain, or as darkness cannot cover the sun, or as a clump of grass can never extinguish the rain. Similarly, Krishna is not the least bit afraid of this little tiny water snake. Therefore, give up your grief. Any moment now, my brother will finish him off, this lowly serpent, and he will come out of the water unharmed. You can have complete confidence in my words. Immediately after Baladev finished speaking, hearing the crying of the gopis and the children and his mother and his father, Krishna decided to remove their acute distress by freeing himself from the serpent's grip. Enwrapped in the coils of that black snake, he looked exquisite and as striking as the full moon when it is embraced by the branches of a dark tree. But now, seeing his lamenting friends and kinsmen, he yearned to release himself. Kaliya's coils covered his entire body. Only his face remained exposed. So to free himself, he began within the coils, invisible to anyone else, he began to expand his body. This was not visible, but the serpent began to experience it. And as Krishna was expanding and expanding, he's trying to hold on to him, and Krishna's increasing and increasing in size. And as he started trying to hold on to him, he became tormented by this increasing expansion. And the serpent became confused, and he found himself trying his best to hold on, but suddenly his coils released and Krishna stood up. When Krishna forced him to let go, Kaliya retreated slightly. Till now, he had been in full control of Krishna's body, and he thought himself successful in squeezing out his life. But when Krishna expanded, he understood that his coils were about to burst into pieces. Imagine the elation of all the people in Braj when Krishna suddenly stood up, free from the snake's deadly embrace. They made a great tumult. Tumult! A tumult of sweet sounds of joy. Hey! And suddenly, Kaliya saw Krishna standing fully conscious before him. Kaliya realized that this was no ordinary foe. So as he retreated, he observed Krishna very carefully, and snakes, when they are afraid, they spit poison over and over and over and over and over again. So he spat poison blindly at Krishna as much as he could from hundreds of mouths, all at once, spitting, spitting, spitting at Krishna. And he was preparing in his mind for another attack. Then he expanded his form to massive proportions and spread the hoods of his 100 heads. Breathing heavily in anger, he licked his lips again and again with his 100 forked tongues, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. He licked his lips looking at Krishna, and he started to stare at Krishna with a glance that was full of terrible poison and sparks and fire and so much anger. Kaliya, Krishna calmly stared back at him as if to say, I'm not afraid of you. And then he began to circle around Kaliya, circling around him very slowly, casually. He circled around him, and Kaliya was following. Where's he going? What's he doing? He was following him. Kaliya was looking for his opportunity to bite. Then Krishna made the first move. You see, he wanted to play. And how did he play with Kaliya? Well, he would come very close to Kaliya, close enough that Kaliya could sting him and bite him. But then just as Kaliya attempted to do that, Krishna would suddenly and swiftly move in a different direction. And then again, he would move in very close to Kaliya. But again, he would avoid being stung. Krishna would challenge Kaliya, and Kaliya would follow him. But again and again, Krishna moved in different directions. He wasn't running away from Kaliya. He was teasing him. He was coming in very close and moving back and darting here and darting there and continuously on the move. Sometimes Kaliya missed stinging Krishna's body by a hair's breadth. And then, just to encourage him, Krishna would show signs of being startled and distressed. And then Kaliya would not give up his hope. So again, at other times, Krishna would act as if he really wanted Kalia to sting him. He would stand right in front of the mighty, fierce, angry, fiery serpent. And he would show him limbs of his body that he should attack. He would point to his arm, or point to his chest, or he'd point to his leg, and he would completely lure Kalia back into another attempt to sting him. And in this way, Kalia was being toyed with and teased and forcibly made to rapidly round and round and round. He was looking for Krishna. And as he moved round and round and round in circles in the lake, he was becoming tired. Krishna's movements were extremely fast, faster than lightning. Had Krishna run away in fear, perhaps Kalia would have left the matter. He may have just forgotten it and gone back to his family. But Krishna was always there, within a tempting distance from Kalia. But then sometimes, after a very fierce attempt, Kalia really wasn't sure where Krishna was, and he had to step back for a few minutes and look for him. He couldn't find him anywhere. And thus, Krishna played with Kalia exactly the way that Garuda, the king of eagles, plays with snakes. A snake is no match for Garuda. In fact, Kalia had run away and made his residence here in this Jamuna lake out of fear of Garuda. They are half brothers. And yet, due to their fighting, Kalia sought refuge deep within this lake because he knew that Garuda would never come here. But since Krishna is the master of Garuda, it was only natural that he would now play with Kalia exactly the way that Garuda would play with any other snake. Krishna intended to gradually wear Kalia down. So wherever Kalia turned his fearful, fiery, angry, poisonous eyes, Krishna stared back at him without blinking for a moment. In doing this, he indicated he was ready for a battle. Initially, Kalia was relentlessly spitting poison at Krishna and also trying to bite him. But gradually, as his energy wore down and he became weaker and weaker, it dawned on him that he was dealing with an extraordinary person. Yet although his strength had diminished significantly, his anger had not diminished in the slightest. And so he continued to stand tall and proud with all his hoods raised. This constant activity in the lake had created some significant sized waves. And taking advantage of one of those big waves, Krishna rose up within the water. And then, using his left hand, he artistically slapped one of Kaliya's heads and brought it down and stepped upon his head as if it was a platform. Krishna was now standing on top of Kaliya, whose broad heads extended high above the lake. And here we will leave Kaliya with Krishna proudly standing on his head, having assumed the weight of the universe, and ready and willing to respond to Kaliya's anger. Tomorrow night, we will hear what happens next. But before we finish, one last thing. There were two reasons why Krishna wanted all the Vrajavasis to come to the shore of the lake. He wanted them to witness Kaliya fighting like this. He wanted them to see his envy and his anger, because he wanted to show them that although Kaliya was a resident of Braj, he should be driven out. He should be sent away because of his envious and angry nature. And the second reason we will all hear about tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.